Savior is about to come back for his bride, whom he has washed and cleansed and made holy, without spot or wrinkle, by his blood which he shed on the cross for us. You ambassadors of Christ, you soldiers of the cross, you precious diamonds, stand up tall and straight, be counted, be recognized, be identified, and rejoice in the soon coming back of the Lord our God.
For the next few programs, I will be teaching on the end times. We always ask the question, how much time do we have left? The handwriting is on the wall. We can see things taking place that are predicted in the Word of God. There are quite a few subjects covering the end times. There's the tribulation, there's the rapture, there's the rise of the Antichrist, there's the wars that are going to happen, the horrible pestilences, the famines, and on and on and on the horrors go as we get closer to the coming back of the Lord Jesus Christ with his saints. The last 3.5 years are going to be unimaginable. That's when the Antichrist will rule with all power. He will be a total despot and a total dictator. And the Bible teaches us that power will be given unto him. And I have often asked the question, who gives the power? We understand from Scripture that the powers of this world have been handed over to the devil by Adam and Eve themselves. So now God is choosing a people who will stand against the evil, but towards the last part of the tribulation, the saints will be gone, and there's going to be absolutely no resistance. In Luke chapter 4, verse 5, there is an interesting situation where the devil is trying to tempt the Lord Jesus Christ when he was tempted in the wilderness. It tells us in verse 5 of Luke chapter 4, and the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine. While we know the ends of the Lord said, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. But we have to understand here, even though we serve God, we preach God, and we only can worship God, Satan makes an interesting statement in verse 6 of Luke chapter 4, that the world system has been handed to him, and he can give it to whomsoever he will. And he will give that power and that world system to a person called the Antichrist, the infamous Mr. 666, who will rule this planet for 7 years. The last 3.5 years of this planet's existence under the rule of the Antichrist will be so horrifying that the Bible teaches men will be scarce like gold. That's an interesting statement. When we study the Word of God, we know that millions upon millions and billions will die during that 3.5 year period. But what is the timetable for this? How can we tell the time on when these things will come to pass? Well, today I will teach on this, but before I get into this subject, I will ask the Lord to bless us. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the grace of God. I thank you, O Heavenly Father, that you will open the hearts of the listeners so that they will understand the timetable we're in. You will help me to bring forth this message so that people will see and understand the time we're in. I thank you and ask you to bless us. Open the hearts of the listeners. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When one studies the four Gospels, we can clearly see a description of the tribulation in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. The Apostle John didn't write a whole lot about it, except for the book of Revelation. But in Matthew chapter 24, there is a whole chapter devoted to the tribulation. And then Mark has chapter 13, and then Luke has chapter 13 and 17. But in verse 13, there is an interesting question or answer given by the Lord Jesus when the disciples tell him that Herod is out there to destroy him. And the Lord Jesus Christ tells us in Luke chapter 13, verse 32, and he said unto them, go you and tell that fox, behold, I cast out devils, and I do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. Nevertheless, I must walk today and tomorrow and the day following. For it cannot be that the prophet perished out of Jerusalem. And then in verse 34, he makes an interesting statement. He says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which kills the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, How often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen does gather her brood under her wings, and you would not. In other words, you don't want that. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate, and verily I say unto you, you shall not see me until the time come when you shall say, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. That is a very interesting statement that the Lord God gives. He's talking about when he will come, when the Jewish people will cry out and say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And when we look at the peoples of this planet, the Christians, they are desperately trying to evangelize the Jews because they know that this prophecy will come true when the Jewish people turn to the Lord. What is the time? The question is, what is the timetable? How long do we still have? When I studied these scriptures, the Lord God opened my heart to an interesting statement that he makes. He tells us, behold, I cast out devils, and I do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. Nevertheless, I must walk today and tomorrow, and the day following. So here is the Lord Jesus Christ talking about 3 days. He says, today and tomorrow, I will be casting out devils and doing cures. But on the third day, I shall be perfected. And nevertheless, he says, I must walk all those 3 days. Here is what I believe that those scriptures mean. When we turn to 2 Peter chapter 3, in verse 8, the Apostle Peter writes and tells, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Many people will say, well, with God, there is no time. It doesn't make any difference whether it's 1,000 years or whether it's 2,000 years or 3,000 years. Well, the scripture, when it writes, it has specific meaning. It just doesn't throw anything out there for hearsay. It has something very important hidden in it. Regardless what it is, scripture always has that. It will have some hidden secret that the children of God need to seek out. And here is what I believe this whole subject is talking about. The earth was created in 6 days, and on the 7th day, the Lord Jesus rested. So now when we study the whole system of creation and how long the world has already been in existence, as we know it according to scripture, it has been 6,000 years. We can know that by studying scriptures. The timetables are there. There were still 3,000 years left for to be fulfilled when Jesus was born. And this is where I bring you back to Luke chapter 13, where the Lord Jesus Christ tells us, I must walk those 3 days. Today I will do cures, tomorrow I will do cures, but the third day I will be perfected. So from the day of Christ until the end of the millennial period, it'll be 3,000 years, and according to the word of God, 3 days. So what does the Lord Jesus Christ mean by saying he will be here for 3 days? Well, he will be working by the Holy Spirit for 2,000 years. That is from the time of his crucifixion until the time until the end of the tribulation. He will cast out devils and he will do cures. But in the millennium, that is after the tribulation, there is one more day, one more 1,000 years that have to be fulfilled. and in that day he will be perfected. So we can clearly see the picture being drawn by Scripture. What timetable are we in? We are at the end, if not already, into the beginning of the third year. I believe we're right at the end according to the Jewish calendar. And we are supposed to get ready for the Lord Jesus Christ to return. When we study what is happening on the planet, the pestilences, the earthquakes, people turning away from God, whole denominations wondering if Jesus was truly virgin born, we can see that the first and second day of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ's ministry here on earth, is about drawing to a close. So let's pay attention to these scriptures. When I study it in Luke chapter 13, it simply doesn't make any sense until you start seeking the Holy Ghost. Because why would he tell his disciples to tell Herod that he must do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day he will be perfect? Well, that doesn't make any sense unless you study it and seek the Lord's revelation. And this is what I believe he has shown me, that those next 3,000 years are going to be very interesting here on this planet. The first 2,000 years have almost already expired, where Jesus is doing cures, casting out devils. But the perfection years are just around the corner. And this is what I get excited about. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ has called us to preach, that he is soon coming back. He said, those that look for my appearing, to them will I return the second time without sin unto salvation. Are you looking for the Lord's appearing? I have given you ample proof in Scripture that Jesus is about to come back. When you study it, you can see more of the proof. There is so much going on that we cannot simply ignore it anymore. Even the secular world knows that the Lord Jesus Christ is about to come back. They know something will happen. This is why they're so desperate for this one world government that everybody is talking about to come into existence. 15, 20 years ago, you did not hear of the one world government, but today it's on the news all the time. And that is not a big revelation to the Christian, because the Bible predicted that this is going to happen and it's going to pass. And we are the generation that will see all these things coming to pass. Are you ready for that awesome event that will soon happen? I know for a fact that the Bible describes it'll happen in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. The Bible teaches us the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be changed. Yes, we shall be changed instantly. And then we shall be caught up in the air with them who have died and rose. We shall be caught up in the air to meet the Lord in the air. Thus shall we ever be with the Lord. We have to remember the Lord Jesus Christ does not come to this planet at the first coming. We go up to meet him in the clouds. And at the second coming, he will come down and he will touch the Mount of Olives and bring this last 1,000 years of awesome tranquility and peace into existence, which Bible scholars call the millennium period, where the lion and the ox will graze together and a child shall watch over them. Yes, that's the tranquility we're looking for, and that's the tranquility that is soon coming. So give Jesus your life and heart today, for he is willing that none shall perish. The Lord will open your eyes to these awesome truths and make you a blessing. Amen.
I guess we should pity the man in this world who must use the earth for a bed. And I guess we should pity the man who must toil from dawn till dusk for his bread. But these can be rich if they have contentment, sharing God's salvation plan. But if you know any who, though they have plenty, are lost, then pity the man.
Pity the man who has treasures to hold and owns not the pearl of great price.
Of intolerance towards Christian symbols. The courts are full of cases about crosses that have to be taken down, the Ten Commandments have to be taken out of certain places, and that is happening all over the world, where people are bringing these cases into courts because the symbol of the cross is a convicting symbol and people do not want any reminder of anything that will remind them of a judgment that is to come. I remember as a kid, I was told that only Catholics have crosses and they worship them. So to me, it was maybe idolatry. I didn't hardly know what idolatry is, but I couldn't figure out why people would pray to a cross. But when you become a Christian, you see the significance of the cross. It is a reminder to the world that Jesus died and rose again. He was crucified for our sins. And that reminder convicts people of sin. And we are beginning to see some very interesting cases hitting the courtrooms. There are a few cases where people are trying to get rid of the Easter Bunny. To me, an Easter Bunny shouldn't even be mentioned with Easter, but because the secular world uses it as a symbol for Easter, people even are convicted of that. And then there's the Christmas tree. People want to get that out of the way. They don't want it to be shown in the season of Christmas. So do you see the point I'm getting at? Even though there's a symbol, a Christmas tree or a rabbit, that has absolutely nothing to do with Christianity, but because they are associated with Christmas and Easter by the secular world, people are brought into conviction. So you see the point I'm making. As we get closer to the end, the Lord will use whatever it takes to convict people of their sin and for the judgment that is ahead. So you see the point I'm trying to make. We are getting very close to the Lord's return. When an Easter bunny is starting to convict somebody of God, that God exists, when a Christmas tree or an evergreen tree starts to convict somebody that there is a God that is going to one day judge the world, we know that we are fast running out of time. The cross that is so important to the Christian is becoming a symbol that convicts people all over the world. There is a case now in court of a cross in the Mojave Desert that veterans, that war veterans have put up years ago. And it's out in the desert where nobody hardly ever is. But this park ranger, who has a job in the vicinity, is going about his business, sees the cross every now and then. And he is brought under conviction. And he has brought it to court. And now they have put some plywood over the cross until the court will determine whether the cross comes down or the plywoods come off. Either way, the cross is an offense to many. For the Bible teaches us that the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us that are saved, it is the power of God. To one, it is a smell of death. To the other, it smells of life. This is what Scripture teaches. So we do not need to be surprised when we hear of those cases coming to court these days. And it's going to get incredibly worse. Christianity will not be tolerated for very long in the Western countries anymore. So let's get ready. Jesus is about to come back. For when he starts using rabbits and Christmas trees to convict people, we know the time is about up. The Lord will open your heart to these incredible truths and make you a blessing. Amen.
Here at Reaching Out Ministries, we would like to thank you for your generous support. Please continue to pray for us as we press on in the call that God has placed before us. We would love to hear from you. Please write to us at Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2. Again, that's Reaching Out Ministries, Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2.
his throne.